All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Esha, for coming onto the podcast today. Esha is from Now CFO. She's going to be speaking today about her journey into entrepreneurship. And Esh, let's take the floor. I'm just going to start hot and heavy.
I love it. I love it. Straight to the point.
Straight to the point. Let's just jump into it this morning. Tell everyone a little bit about you. Tell us about Now CFO, where you're at.
Okay, great. All right. So hi, I'm Esha Moncrief, and I am originally from Jamaica. My background is really in a variety of different things, if I'm being honest. I have a background in branding and marketing for large conglomerates, companies like Pepsi Cola, Coca-Cola, Red Stripe. I've done branding and marketing for them for several years. And then I ended up magically in a financial role working with Bank of America and helping high net worth clients, you know, assess their financial journey and figuring out what's the best path for them. I did that for several years. And then during COVID, I realized my personality is more of a relationship building person. I realized this my entire life. I've always had like a lot of people around me, and I didn't know, you know, when I was younger, what that was always about. But when you're in a corporate structure, it becomes a little bit more transactional. And I realized that, you know, the path that I was on at that time wasn't necessarily the best fit for me. So I decided to pivot during COVID, which may not have been the best idea, but, you know, you take a risk and you leap with faith and keep it moving. So I decided to, an opportunity presented itself as with a franchise called Real Producers. So what Real Producers was at the time, we worked with the top 1% of realtors in each market that we were in, and we created a really high net worth exclusive community of people moving at the same pace, you know, like-minded professionals getting together to build relationships and, you know, strengthen existing relationships with the goal of building business growth. That was great. I did that for a few years, you know, and during that time, we realized that the franchise model wasn't maybe the right fit for South Florida at the time. So we decided to restructure that model. We'll be doing that again in a few years. But right now, I was able to take on an opportunity working with one of my clients at the time, Now CFO, and now I'm helping them with their business development in South Florida. So with that, Now CFO, we are a premier outsourced fractional and accounting consulting firm. We're able to bring in a spectrum of talent from CFO controller level professionals to staff accountants in businesses that may need some form of financial and accounting help. So we're able to help them, whether it's a part-time basis, permanent, temp to hire, you name it, we can do it. Or our model is amazing. The talent of people that we have is phenomenal and bar none. All of our consultants have at least 10 years of experience. They're all CPAs or CFOs, or maybe they have their MBAs, but they're very experienced in all different industries. We're industry agnostic. And right now I am extremely happy to be a part of an organization where I can see they have an amazing framework model set up. I think the world is getting very fractional. People are trying to get very automated. There are a bunch of changes that you can see going on, whether it's technology or whatever, with the way the world is going right now. So I think right now I'm in a very great place and I'm able to pivot and grow with an amazing company. So that's me. That's where I am.
Awesome. Awesome. Wow. Okay. Well, I want to go back, right? You're here now at Now CFO, and you transitioned from Bank of America into the entrepreneurship role, right? Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that, like the mindset.
Well, to be honest with you, when you are working in a company and you're making millions for a company and you're going home with pennies, at some point in time, you, depending on your personality, right? Because some people are fine with that. I'm not. I have very big goals for myself. I have visions that sometimes shake me, you know, to my core, because I believe that I'm able of attaining more for my life. And I don't believe in being limited. So I have a very abundant mindset. And because of that, I took a risk, even though I'm not typically a risk taker. I'm a very adventurous person, but when it comes on to certain things like financial stability,
I have to assess everything properly, especially being a single mom. But I also knew that my son's dreams also meant more to me than staying in a role where I didn't see much growth happening financially or even career-wise. You know, it's kind of like being a part of a man's club and you're the one female there that doesn't adhere to the rules or the typical, you know, kissing, but if, excuse my language, but that's just not my personality. I'm a very straightforward and direct person, respectfully, of course, but I just realized that at some point in time, I have to pivot. And during COVID, working from home, I was able to take advantage of just being able to self-reflect and figure out what it is that I wanted to do. I grew up with real estate around me, and I was a realtor at one point in time as well, not a top producing realtor, just a realtor. And I always knew that I wanted to build a network with professionals that I could learn from. And it would be a solid circle of influential people that were moving at a pace that I wasn't moving at, but I knew I wanted to move at. Okay. And that opportunity with Real Producers came out of nowhere. At that time, not realizing that I actually had looked at the company several years before. Wow. And I only realized that now. But it was very risky, but without risk, there's no rewards. It didn't pan out the way that I thought it would have, but that doesn't mean that, you know,
you would have done it different. Right.
Exactly. I was able to learn so many different things and how to set up the right systems and procedures and operate with an entrepreneurial mindset, which I didn't, you know, you have to some extent, but being in that role and owning your own business and being the one person doing every single solitary thing, you're accounting, you're collecting, I was also an editor, publisher, you know, I had to do a lot of meetings and interviews with people, write those articles. So there, my background as a, you know, an English teacher and language came into play. I've always loved writing, but there's so many different things that are involved with being an entrepreneur. And sometimes it may scare some people.
Did it scare you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. For sure. I won't even lie because as I said, I'm not financially a risk taker. When you're a single mom and you're leaving an income that you're getting bi-weekly or whatever the case may be, and then you're going into something not knowing what that landscape is looking like, I was shook. You know, but you just go with faith. I have a very strong relationship with God, and I prayed a lot, and it was not easy, but if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't have taken the opportunity. So, you know, yeah.
Okay. And advice for other people looking to transition, like if you could go back to that moment, what would you have told yourself to prepare yourself even more for that entrepreneurial journey?
Build a team. So I think no man is an island, and I think that you need a community for sure. And I am grateful and blessed that I did have a community to support me through that transition and help me with a lot of different things when I needed help. But building a community within your business, setting up the right systems within your business that allow you to be able to function at your maximum potential, right? On the things that are going to create not just activity, but financial activity for your business. So had I had like someone handling the outreach of collections for me, or had I set up the right systems when it came on to marketing, like my campaigns and stuff like that, if I did what I was supposed to do, it would have been a lot more or a lot less stressful on me. Having someone that could have maybe written the articles for me. So building a community, and I think leveraging your resources and realizing that you don't need to do it by yourself, and it's not productive to do it by yourself. You know, right. It really, really isn't. You need to, even if you're going to automate things, then that's great, but not having anything and you're one person being the head cook, the bottle washer, everything in a business is nonsensical. So I would definitely advise anyone becoming an entrepreneur. It's not easy. That first year is not easy. The second year may not be easy, you know, but just keep your head down, be persistent. So persistently pursuing your purpose and your vision, I think is something also that I would definitely advise someone. Don't listen to people. You know what you have to do for yourself. And I'm not saying that you mustn't take advice. Advice is always helpful, but sometimes the wrong advice is not the best advice, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to clear the clutter, keep your head down, just be persistent, and set up the right systems for yourself. And I think that once you have everything aligned the right way, the sky's the limit for what you can achieve.
Okay. And in terms of setting up the right systems, okay, outside of business systems, what systems could you have set up for yourself, leaving from the workforce, going into this entrepreneurial journey, that would have made your journey a little bit better? So if there's a single mom out there considering this, right? And you're going back in time and you're going into her shoes, right? And she's about to take that huge leap of faith. What is a system that you think that she could put in place that would somehow help?
That's a great question. I would definitely say like a minimum 6 month emergency fund. So you can cover your mortgage, you can cover your car payment, your insurance, your groceries, the unexpected expenses, but a minimum of 6 months of an emergency fund. And if you can build upon that, that's great. If you can do a year, that's great, but definitely, definitely have those things in place. If you can also start with some form of capital for your business, because you're constantly pumping it, right? And all of that is right. coming from your pockets until you're able to generate revenue, which is not a guarantee. Right. You know, you never know where the economy is going. You never know what the landscape might look like. So just being properly prepared financially, I think is a good step. And sometimes it doesn't happen like that. And sometimes people don't need that, but that emergency fund is always needed. So the capital may not be that serious or that relevant, depending on the type of business that you're going into. But that emergency fund is always needed, whether you're starting a business or not. That's something right. that could always be in place. So right. that would be my two cents for sure.
And I do think capital is needed because you are going to need help.
No. Yep.
And, you know, going into that one man band thing, you know, without the capital, you can't pay for the help.
You can't.
And, you know, on this channel, we talk about mentorship a lot, you know. Oh. How important was mentorship for you in that transition?
So mentorship in the transition and beyond, before mentorship has always been very important to me. And remember when I was saying like earlier, I wanted to surround myself with like-minded people moving at a pace that maybe I wasn't used to. So those people, a lot of people I have in my life, to be honest with you, are my mentors. So in terms of even being able to have someone that can guide you the right way, they may not necessarily be in the role that you're in or going into, but just being able to have honest, open conversations with people that can see a little clearer for me, a different perspective than you, is extremely important. Mentorship to me is extremely important. Whether you have a business coach or not, being able to speak to someone that you can look up to or maybe get the best advice from, helped me significantly. And I had that through the relationships I was building and the relationships that I have with, whether it's a family member or a friend, I had that in my life. So it's I'm very blessed and very grateful in so many different ways for that. And I know it's helped me significantly within the past couple of years, especially to see things from a different perspective, to have more of a growth mindset than I already had, and realize that really and truly the sky is the limit. You limit yourself with your limited beliefs. Right? So if we can eliminate the limiting beliefs, eliminate negative energy from around us, all these different things, that just build a life with positivity. Even when the road is tough and you're like, you don't know what's going on, just put that positivity out there and lean on the people that can really help to guide you and pick you up. It's critical to me.
And tell us a little bit about that journey in terms of going out there to meet the people that you wanted to surround yourself with, like networking. What would you say about networking? How important is networking? And what are the best ways for someone coming into this to network?
So networking for me is extremely important. Whether you're an entrepreneur or not, if you are building sales, you need to network. You need to have people know who you are, what you're doing, how they can help you. You start with your sphere of influence or circle of influence first, right? You're letting them know, hey, this is what I'm working on, right? Because you want them to become your raving fans so that they're talking to their friends and their family about what you're doing. But for me, just being able to identify, okay, I was in the real estate industry. I need to surround myself with mortgage brokers and title agents and interior designers and all these different things. It's really doing your research and researching, because there are a million mortgage brokers, there are a million title agents, there are a million realtors, and everyone says they're a top producer. How do I know who is a top producer? Okay, based on their numbers. So I'm going to take that same approach and figure out who those mortgage agents are and all these different professionals that I need to be in front of. The next step would be to figure out, okay, where are they going? You know, so you're targeting the specific places that you know these people are going to, and because everyone is busy, right? So they for sure don't have time. If they're going somewhere, it's going to be worth their while. But a lot of times when I was starting out building Miami Real Producers, I wasted a lot of time running around, trying to be everywhere, trying to get in front of all these different people. And most of those people, they weren't my audience. They weren't my target audience. They weren't in the net worth that I needed to be in. They weren't in the space that I needed to be in. They didn't have the mindset that I needed to be around as well. So it did take like a year, to be honest, of really identifying where I needed to be, how to be in front of those people, and surrounding myself with the people that would get me in front of those people and making those connections. I was able to identify that by just hard work, blood, sweat, tears, and hard work, you know. But it, I would tell people to definitely niche down, really be hyper, super, super, super specific with what you're looking for. And just once you know what your audience looks like down to the most finite speck of what you want, then you're able to really drive your network the right way.
Nice. Nice. And I love that you went that route to talk about niching down, because most business owners, they automatically assume that if they niche down, then they're not serving their audience, but they don't realize in order to serve, they have to get micro-specific, because not everyone is your customer.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the thing too. You may not be a good fit for someone, and someone that person may not be a good fit for you.
Right.
You know, but I'm a firm believer in not negotiating on your prices. Like, you are what you, I mean, you must know your worth, right? You must know what your product is worth. And if you're willing to scale down and discount 50%, 60% and all these different things and take on everybody, you're just taking on people, but you're minimizing what your worth really is, right? And when I have, you know, every day I met with at least 10 top producing agents. These real estate agents were doing minimum $10 million in the previous year. And the ones that were the most successful, so the top 100 of that top 500, they are so specific with what they're doing. They're not going from Miami Beach or you know, Palm Beach, coming all the way down to Miami and selling properties and just getting anything. No, they are so specific. Listen, I do condos only in Sunny Isles between these two streets. And I'm an expert in this. You want to be an expert. And that is what they did. And I realized the reason why they were so successful is because they were so specific. And it's not even just in real estate. When I go now and I network with all these different really successful professionals, and you listen to all the different podcasts, and you read all these different books, everyone is so specific with what they're looking for and what they're doing that they become the premier experts in each area. So people are drawn to them. They know that, okay, if I'm looking for something in Coral Gables, I can reach out to this person because they know where the last coconut tree was planted. You know?
It's true.
You really just want to be super specific with your goals, with your dreams, with your vision, with your products, with everything that you're doing, and manifest it, pray about it, and just get it done. But wasting time taking on everything and all their emotions, and it's not really what you want, and you're going everywhere and you're putting yourself out there, and it's not adding value to you, your life, and you're not being really productive, it makes absolutely no sense.
Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of books about the 80-20, right?
Oh my God.
I don't know if you even want to get it down to like minute to 64-4, you know, like the 20% of the things is what really brings you the most value.
Yep, 20%. When you're in sales, 20%. 20% is a number that is like, so I think it goes with every industry, goes through so many different things, because 20%, You know, you can do a million things, but 20% is where you're going to get your return.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah.
And take us fast forward now to where you are today.
So even though I decided not to continue that entrepreneurial path for the moment, that doesn't mean that there isn't something brewing in the pot, right? Because you've gotten a taste of that. And if you are a visionary or you have like really high goals for yourself, you know, doing one thing is great and working for a company is great. And I'll probably always be with this company. That doesn't mean that I won't start something for myself, you know? I am very grateful that I had that experience as an entrepreneur working with real producers and going through the highs, the lows, and everything in between, because it really has set me up for success. I am positioned with the right networking people. I have built the right relationships and continue to build the right relationships. I have all the systems in place that I need, and I understand that I can't do things alone, that I have to be more resourceful and pull on my COI and the people that I meet all the time to be able to help me identify areas where I can be more successful, more productive. So everything happens for a reason, whether it's good or bad. We sometimes never know. I learned really quickly why my bad happened, and it's positioned me to be even greater than I was before. I feel like a phoenix rising from the ashes. And I'm excited every day, and I love what I do. I'm very passionate about it. And I'm a very passionate person to some extent in general when it comes to certain things, you know? So it's great now that I've found something that I can put everything into. Everything that I built before can now go into this, and I can see the fruits bearing. Even though it's something different, it's a different industry. Now I'm back in finance and I'm helping people. But being able to help people, it's something that means a lot to me. Not being transactional, being able to build solid relationships, it's something I'm naturally good at. I'm very honest and very transparent, and never knew my entire life that it was leading me up to be this person that I am today. But I am grateful for that. I am beyond grateful for that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And leaving us today, what would you impart on someone looking at you, at where you are now? What would you say to them? What advice would you give to them?
I would say, don't let your struggles or your past define you. Aspire to be a better version of yourself every single solitary day, and just keep pushing. Push through the grit, push through the muck, push through everything. Don't listen to anyone. Listen to the good, eliminate the bad, and just keep pushing.
Nice. And where can we find you?
So on LinkedIn, Eshe Moncrief, Instagram, Eshe Moncrief. My name means life. So I try to just, you know, make sure that my name is out there all the time. So the first thing people ask, hey, I love your name. What does it mean? Life. So we're not eliminating that. So anything for me, it's always Eshe Moncrief.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Eshe, thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate our conversation. I think that anyone coming is going to have a great episode to listen to, because it's filled with gems, like jam-packed with gems. Thank you again.
Thank you. This is amazing. Have a great day.
You too.
Enjoy. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.